I remember it started on my music tour while I was in the Netherlands. My father kept on telling me that you're going to serve the Lord, you better start reading scriptures. But I told my father that over my dead body, I wouldn't. We kept on arguing with it. He told me that, can you ever run away from God? He kept on telling me his stories, but still I would be like, unless God does something so spectacular for me, maybe gives me $1 million, that's when I will serve him. So while on my tour in the Netherlands, I remember getting this dream. And a child was telling me that you will never run away from the hand of God. You're going to serve the Lord. He even told me places I would go. He told me you will serve God. Someday you will serve him even in America. So Craig, better prepare. I don't know how it will come, but it will come. You're my shining star.
You are the shining star. River from the throne, let it quench my thirst. How will the shame rise my foot from the dust? Boy.
Welcome back to the Interview Podcast. From Milbank, South Dakota, this is Craig Weinberg. TheInterviewPodcast.org is our website where you can go find all the archived conversations and also where you can help support the show. We are a value for value podcast, which really is we create content, put it out to you. If you get value out of it, you decide what that value is, return it back to us. You can do that on the, at TheInterviewPodcast.org. Click on the support button and you choose the value that you got out of the conversation. Another great way for you to support the show is to tell more people about it. Get it out to your circles across the social medias and around your circle of influence. You can also listen on a podcasting 2.0 app, a modern podcast app, podcastapps.com. By listening, you can help support us directly through those as well. Today is a conversation that I got to have with the son of a pastor in Uganda that I knew 20 years ago. Phila Kawesa is with me today. His dad, Stephen Kawesa, I was able to get to know a little bit while I lived there back in 2004. Phila's story, it's an interesting change. Kind of explore how he had a change of heart and what brought him from wanting nothing to do with being a pastor to now pastoring a congregation. And they're growing like crazy. Hope you enjoyed this conversation I had with Phila outside his home and outside the church. So there's going to be some background noise. I'm sure it'll be a little bit more alive. But that's all right. Hope you enjoyed this chat. Thanks for listening. Let's get right to it. When did you start music?
That's a hard question. Because I believe for one to be a musician, it has to be in their blood. So we started, I think, at around the age of 13 years when I joined secondary school. That's when I discovered the musical talent that was in me. But of course, in that school where I went to, I first saw certain kids that were singing and their voices were really good. And I really wanted to be part of what they were doing. And at the time in Uganda, Jamaican music had covered up the whole nation.
And the what year was that? So that you were 13?
I was 13 years. Honestly, I can't tell you the year. it would take me some time to discover the year. But then Jamaican music was so popular in Uganda, and the genre was called dancehall and reggae music. So I fell in love with the genre. At that time, it was Bob Marley music and then a few guys from Jamaica. So that's where I took it from musically.
Did you start writing lyrics, or what was the What did you like the most out of it?
To discover myself as a writer, it took some time. That's when I started recording. But then I first loved the voices, of course the rapping, because dancehall music involves rhyming. But then in Jamaican dialect, not so much in English, because it's a mix of English, Spanish, their language, the Jamaicans. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of English, Spanish, and some African words. So it was so much of rapping with a rough neck, so much different from rap music in the USA, but almost the same style of rhyming.
Mm-hmm.
Only that I believe the Jamaican is more musical.
Yes, it is. Definitely. So when did you get into it for real? Like, when did it start becoming a real passion for you?
Becoming a real passion, it started in 2000, when I had finished my S6. I was joining campus. So during the holidays, the vacation, I decided to start doing some recordings. And I remember one of my first songs that I recorded, the language did not exist, because I used to love Jamaican patois so much, their language, but then I didn't understand it fully. So I decided to just rhyme a song without. I created my own language. I did a whole song in tongues and put it out on radio. When I put it out on radio, DJs were praising. They were like, this boy sounds so much Jamaican. How did he learn the language? But then I had my secret. I was like, wow, I'm rapping in tongues. So after that song, people put so much urge on me. They wanted me to release the next song with my brothers, because I was singing with my brothers. That's when it gave me the push to learn the language. And I learned it through internet. Started teaching myself, downloading their dictionaries, then downloading clips of their conversations and following up lyrics of their songs. That's how I learned their language.
How far did it go?
It's still going on up to now.
Really?
Yeah, I'm still a recording artist. Though right now, not so much, because I do a bit of pastorship. A full-time pastor, I mean, sorry. So I record less. But I'm still a recording artist. Only the only difference is nowadays I'm recording so much in my local language, because I would want our people to understand the language. The reason is something like 70% of Ugandans are illiterate. They haven't gone to school.
70?
That's what I believe.
Wow.
But of course the statistics would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our people, out of 10 people, 5%, like in this village where we are, most of them don't know how to speak English. Yet English is part of our languages. So that tells the whole story, that a big percentage of our people are still illiterate.
So you focus music in the local language just so they can hear what you're saying?
Yeah, so that they can hear the message of Christ. Because I'm a gospel artist, I want them to understand the gospel that I'm singing about. When I was still singing in the Jamaican dialect, youths used to love it. But then the old people could be left out. And even these ones that claim to understand me, they would still sing wrong lyrics.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm taking it down to the local language.
Hmm.
Sometimes a little bit of English, like in a song, you can put a few words in English, just like a hook, and then the rest in the local language. So that maybe even the Americans can listen to us, like we listen to them.
Did you ever have dreams of becoming an international artist?
That was my dream when I was starting up. And by the grace of God, one time I realized that God had fulfilled 70% of what I used to dream about. Because I remember one time I traveled, there was a festival in Suriname. Suriname is in South America.
Okay.
So it was a South American festival. Countries from South America and Caribbeans came on that particular festival. It was called Kari Festa. But then they took me to this part of the country. It was called Nikeri. They waited for the main artist that was to come from Jamaica. He was to crown that night. But then the guy did not appear. Yet these people, when you go to Suriname, it is more of Indians and Nigerian ex-slave people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that were slaves by the Dutch. So it's dominated by those people. So the Indian man came and spoke to me in their Indian type of English dialect. Are you from Africa? You are not going to perform it, strictly South American people.
Really? They were going to keep you out?
Yeah, they wanted to kick me out since I was an African.
Mm.
Then I just went backstage and slept off. I told my agent that let's just leave it. Let's give it rest. But then when their main artist didn't appear, that's when the Indian man came looking out for me. Because people were demanding, because the government pays for that.
Mm.
So they brought me on and I performed for a crowd of almost 10,000
people. Wow.
It was so, so big.
Mm.
But the sad story about it, the guy that was covering my moment, he started covering the shoes because he was dancing.
No, oh, no.
So when I asked the clips, I ended up seeing only the shoes. It was that crazy.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
I think that was my biggest moment.
Yeah.
In my musical career, performing in Kari Festa, on Kari Festa Festival, being awarded a 0.05 carotin gold certificate. Right now, I don't know where it is because my papa used to keep it. And he's going to be with the Lord. So it's in his documents.
Hmm.
Mm. But that was the biggest night and the biggest congregation that I ever performed for. But otherwise, musically, I cut and raise for people like Kirk Franklin. I cut and raise for Sissy Winans, did for Papa San. I've gotten several awards. I have 2 awards in music for the top song of the year, and I think for the biggest reggae artist in Uganda.
Really?
Yeah, then I also have several nominations, and for nominations not only in Uganda, in East Africa. I have in Kenya being nominated for reggae category, then also I think was it in Burundi?
Hmm.
Mm. And other words have been nominating me, but sometimes I have not even been appearing there because I knew I was a little bit off the music scene.
Yeah. Mm. What'd you do for CC Winans?
Curtain raised.
Really?
Mm. Before the big, curtain raising means mm-hmm. before the big artist comes on.
Oh, yeah.
There are these.
The opener.
The openers. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where at?
In Kampala.
Okay.
Yeah. It was at Nambole Stadium.
Mm.
Mm. Our biggest soccer stadium in Uganda.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Then Papa San, it was Makere. Papa San is a big reggae gospel artist. He's even in the U.S. Probably when you get back, Craig, you'll sketch yes. out for his
oh,
music.
Yeah.
But you'll like it.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a very good artist and a man of God as well.
Mm. So you told me the other day
mm.
that you never had planned or never wanted to be a pastor. What
of
happened?
Course, who would want? I never wanted.
Why?
One of the reasons is, as a pastor's kid, I grew up seeing what my papa passed through.
Mm.
At that time in Uganda, people never thought of tithing in churches. Giving was a problem to them. And by then, churches believed that you had to pray so much for people of Craig's color to come.
Mm.
And that's when you would know that a savior has come to help us in church. Otherwise, the Africans were so poor. They came with needs in church in that the pastor had to give away the little he had. There was nothing like getting from the basket that you're receiving these paper tithing. That wasn't there. So my pups passed through a very hard time for us to survive. And it was my mama that had to hustle. She had a place to work at in Kampala so that we could go to school.
Hmm.
But daddy would come back with just, I remember one time he came back with a piece of maize. And my little brother, now called Richie, by that time, I think he was 4 years. He looked at him and he was like, "Daddy, but you all the time you come back with a piece of maize. Whenever you come back, you just come back with one maize. How are you going to feed the family?" So times were really tough. And we as kids never desired to pass through such a life. You wanted to study and become someone other than being a pastor. But then one thing I have to testify, under my dad, however much I used to fight the will of God, but still I saw the power of God perform. I don't want to discredit God for that. People wouldn't tithe, but God would perform miracles. So my father lived on miracles. Mm. That's why I still believe in miracles, and I still believe in the mighty hand of God. But the sufferation, it really made me reject to be a pastor. I never wanted to be part of it. And also dealing with people. Because people would crowd our place all the time, sick people with marital problems, people who have been kicked out of their houses, all sorts of problems. And that would end up giving them the little bread that we have in our house. Never wanted my kids to pass through that.
So what happened?
But then, I remember it started on my music tour while I was in the Netherlands. My father kept on telling me that you're going to serve the Lord, you better start reading scriptures. But I told my father that over my dead body,
wow,
I wouldn't. We kept on arguing with it. He told me that, can you ever run away from God? He kept on telling me his stories, but still I would be like, unless God does something so spectacular for me, maybe gives me $1 million, that's when I'll serve him. So while on my tour in the Netherlands, I remember getting this dream. And a child was telling me that you will never run away from the hand of God. You're going to serve the Lord. He even told me places I would go. He told me you will serve God. Someday you will serve him even in America. So Craig, better prepare. I don't know how it will come, but it will come. Because I believe in him. He told me you will serve in America, but you have work to do in Mexico. So when I joined my 360, I thought it was going to happen through my 360. But then it seems Dr. Lisa didn't have that part of the vision. I realized it's going to be, God will do it in his own time and in his own way. Hmm. I don't have to force it. So when I came back to Uganda, gotten married, but still I was doing my own things. The musical side started reducing. Guys that would book me out to go on tours, we separated somehow. Then also in Uganda, my music went down. You know, for you to survive in the music industry, you've got to have hits. Mm-hmm. Then people that were booking me here stopped. I think it was because of the marriage. Mm. Then, of course, gotten into married life. At first, it wasn't easy because I had to look for other ways to survive other than surviving on music, because music used to make me survive. In a week, when I was active, I would have like, in a week, at least for the 5 days, I would be booked. You would perform here, go there, interviews on radios. Then before you know it, they are calling you down in Rwanda and Burundi. So I used to be a traveling artist and it would keep me active. But after getting married, things turned. Then started looking for survival here and there. That's when I turned to painting. I started using the other gifting that was in me that I'd slept for years. I started doing some paintings for people and selling off, but still that wasn't enough for me to survive. But that's when also God's voice started speaking so audibly to me. You know, sometimes for we to understand God, he puts us in a desert type of lifestyle. Because when all things are good around you, it's so hard for you to hear what the Lord says. Hmm. But when he puts you in a dry environment that you only need his hand to survive, that's when you will understand him better.
Right.
So he started speaking to me, but then I was still fighting. So it's still when my papa passed away, I realized now, because he used to play a very big role in our lives. Whenever we would run out of money, he would help here and there. So he was gone. It was only God to look up to. Hmm. That's when we made a decision to come this side, because this was his piece of land. So he left it for the family, and each of our siblings had a property onto it, 50 by 100, some have 100 by 100. So he left me that property where my house was. It was unfinished. I had to sell off some piece of land so that I could get man and finish off my house, so that we come and stay in our house and stop renting. So when we came here, the Lord started speaking more, that you've not come here to just sleep. But then I didn't understand. Little did I know that around this piece of area, there was a witch. And in Africa, witchcraft works for real. Hmm. Even in America, it works. It's just that people are blinded about it. When you see things like depression, you see things like kids getting intoxicated with all types of drugs. That could be part of witchcraft. Because when these people perform their witches, witchcraft manifests in things like sickness. You get a certain disease, you're treated, but nothing. You get a cancer, they treat you. Sometimes even the doctors in America lie to you and give you all types of names. Now that type of disease is called mesoloco. They can even give it a name for a person. So when I came here, witchcraft started manifesting, because you see, on our whatever, the other side of this piece of land belongs to a certain lady, and she's a strong sorcerer for the president of Uganda. So when we came here, I think that lady had neutralized this whole area. People would build up houses and not finished. This whole area was so much of a bush. Not even just here, this piece of land, but the other whole area. I don't know whether Dr. Lisa had visited it before, but it was all bushy. Because you know, when people, those sorcerers, when they come to an area, they want to control everywhere. They steal people's land, they do what. In fact, this lady had wrangles with the army barracks. She had stolen their land. She thought that her witchcraft would make her survive. So when we came here, we started praying a little, not so much prayer. Then witchcraft started attacking my little kids, especially my last born. A demon would come and capture her, then he would get seizure and fall down and make up a form. And I was like, wow. At first I was so scared, I took the kid to the hospital. But whenever I would take the little boy to the hospital, they wouldn't see no sickness. Then I told God that this needs prayer. I started praying. When I started praying, the boy started getting healing. I remember one time he got an attack while I was with the young men of this church in my house. That's before we started the church. He got an attack, then I lifted my son up and told God that I cut off the hands of that witch woman. The moment I mentioned that, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the thing left my kid. And in 2 minutes, these boys that were scared, they were like, let's take him to the hospital. I told them this is not an hospital issue. It's a witchcraft. It's a spiritual issue that we are dealing with. In 2 minutes, the boy was jumping up and down and playing. So the boys realized that this was not an easy area to play with. From then, the Lord started manifesting more. I remember, even after all that, I still kept on rejecting the will of God. So one time I got in a dream. Yesterday in church, I narrated a little bit of the story. I got in a dream while a snake had bitten me. And in the actual sense, I fell off my bed and gotten down. My wife woke me up and told me, how comes you've fallen off the bed? What happened? I told her that I've seen a snake bite me. And after that dream, I started getting sickness on this side of my belly. Whatever thing I would put into my stomach, it would just move out. You would just run to the loose. I went and tried all sorts of medicine, but it didn't work. Pain, all the time I would be swallowing medicine for this particular type of pain. So one time God brings a woman all the way from Chiboga. I think she had come to pray for Henry. I had my sister's husband was sick. So that woman came to pray for, because she was a prophetic woman. So I visited. On visiting, she just looked at me and told me, look at this son of a prophet. Your father passed away, but the Lord is crying on your behalf because you're a rebellious person. The Lord has called you for long to serve him. They are his people. They are crying. People are in the ghettos crying. They are like, who help us? They are waiting on you to help them, but you've rejected to do the Lord's will. And then the woman told me that, look at you, even have a sickness that is developing and it's a cancer. And the Lord is warning you that if you don't do his will at this one time, you will surely die. I realized, Craig, things were really tough. I was like, this man Jesus is hunting for me against my will. Came back at my place, I had to repent. I cried out to the Lord. I told him, God, use me. But I don't know how to be used. Because by then I had never preached. I was a gospel artist, yes, but not a preacher. And I didn't know how to even preach. Even to speak onto the pulpit for 3 minutes, that was too big for me. I remember one time I traveled with some missionaries to Kenya, Masai Mara. And they gave me the opportunity to talk to the Masais, to preach to them the gospel. I ended up encouraging them in their wicked culture. That be strong in your African culture. Never let anyone lie to you. So preaching was so tricky for me. Never gone to Bible college. And at the moment, I didn't have the funds even to join Bible college. But then the Lord told me to. So I took it to the Lord in prayer. We started praying. We started up an altar in my house. But then I was doing it lazily. But kept on pushing. Then my friend Mawanda came and joined me. We started up an altar in Bunamwaya, where at the end of the month we would go and pray on a Saturday. Then I told him, why can't we start up something like that? But then the Lord started up communicating that he needs a real church, a real praying altar where prayer never stops. He wants to heal the community. He wants to heal the nation. So we started pushing ourselves slowly by slowly, taking each step at a time. Then I remember one Sunday I wanted to go and join our people in Wakiso for prayers. But then I found out that people were waiting for me outside my house. That pastor, the Lord has been telling us of the church here. Why don't we start? I was like, let's start today. I took out chairs out of my house. We didn't have chairs. And we started from our compound.
Really? Like
5 chairs. I called Pastor Mawanda. He came. We prayed. And that's how we opened up. And that's how Great Tabernacle Church started. We started up with chairs there. Then before we knew it, we bought a covering and we put it up in the other trees, created up a shelter and prayed. And before I knew it, through my 360, we were introduced to Pastor Travis, Pastor Daryl Connolly. Daryl Connolly is like a pops to us. I respect him much because he was a very close associate of my father. And he saw my father performing miracles. He has testimonies that he would tell you himself when you ask him. He says he saw him raise the dead, but I've never seen him raise a dead child. But Daryl Connolly saw him, so he would tell you the story. So through my 360, we got in that big tent. And we never stayed the same. People started coming in big numbers. And through obeying the Lord, Craig, people give testimonies. We don't force anyone to testify, but they have testimonies of the Lord's hand in their lives. One particular testimony that we have a lady at the neighborhood. I don't know whether Dr. Lisa was there at the time. That lady that had a child that was born so tiny, and doctors suspended the lady. She stays there at the neighborhood. They suspended the lady from hospital, sent the lady for the child to die at home because they wouldn't do anything for the child. Then, of course, we recommended the lady to go to my brother, Dr. Andrew, so that Dr. Andrew would help. But Dr. Andrew still told me the same, that this child needs prayers. We prayed for the little kid, and now the kid has grown. I think he's something like 2 years now, 1 year and a half.
Wow.
But he's a healthy kid. We have big testimonies, testimonies of Henry. Lisa is there. She can testify because you remember Lisa at a time every Sunday we used to get onto the microphone. But please, let's pray for Henry. Whether you've come in the church and you know Henry or you don't know, you would just pray, Henry. We pull him from the grave. In the name of Jesus Christ, we resurrect him. Now the man comes and sits.
Yeah.
Now he can even drive himself. He was a dead man.
Hmm.
I remember one time when we were praying for him, there reached a time. The more we would pray, the more sicker the guy would get. From this stage to even a rough stage of his sickness, doctors told him he had over 10 diseases in his body. He had cancer, the kidneys were dead, heart failure, the heart was surrounded by so much water. His belly was swelling with so much water, legs were too big. Every problem was on that man. He got in very bad bed sores, so there was no hope. So they took him to the ICU. And in the ICU, they pronounced him dead.
Really?
But I remember...
I just talked to him yesterday. That's amazing.
He was pronounced dead by one of the doctors. Because if you know that doctor staff, this machine that counts their lives,
mm-hmm.
It was at 4. But then to be pronounced dead, it's at 3. I think in America, I think even at 3, someone can be brought back to life because your technology is advanced. Mm-hmm. But here in Uganda at 4, you can't come back.
Wow.
So one of the doctors told my sister, Rachel, the wife to Henry, at the hospital. She told Rachel that, please just take this person because so much money is going and we can no longer do anything. He's a dead man. Prepare. Even call the people in the village so that they can prepare for him to be buried. And even Dr. Andrew called me, my brother, that Phila, let's take Henry out of the hospital. He's going to bring problems for the wife because that is too much money. I remember each day he would spend something like 90 Ugandan shilling millions. 90 millions in Ugandan shillings. That's something.
Wow.
Isn't that roughly around $25,000?
Yeah.
So they were spending so much. They were borrowing so much money, and it was so bad. But then I remember we had my sister's husband, called Opio, was there. He told us that he had a voice tell him that after 3 days. So Rachel was so weak, crying on the phone. I told Rachel that if Opio has heard that voice and it's telling him after 3 days, it means after 3 days he's coming back to life. That what happened to Christ is happening to him. I told Rachel, cut off all voices of negativity. I even had to put my brother, Dr. Andrew, because he was over pushing me, I had to cut off his phone. I never wanted to receive any scary phone calls from him. Then we prayed at this ground night and day for the scriptures to be fulfilled, that for Peter to be released out of the prison, for an angel to appear. The church prayed night and day. In others, they prayed fervently, non-stop. So that's the power of prayer. So we prayed fervently. And after 3 days, Henry came back to life. But speaking like a robot. Then he asked for ice cream. I want ice cream. Then he started narrating some of the dreams that he was getting while in the coma. He told them a big guy, big strong men, I believe were demons, that they took him to a place and they wanted him to be buried. But then he kept on refusing. Then he disappeared and ended up in a church. That's part of the story. I wouldn't want to tell it for him. He has the story, he would tell it to you himself. But those are one of the big miracles that I've seen.
Hmm.
And right now we are into 100 days of seeking the face of God. Some of us have been doing it night and day, but then on fluids. I take porridge and tea and juices. But you can survive, Craig, you can't die. Can you believe that it's almost, I think we are remaining with 35 days, roughly 35 days or so. The rest of these days we've been fasting, but I'm still healthy and strong, feeding on the word of God and prayer. So that's how powerful the Lord's hand has been in our ministry. That's why I believe so much in a miraculous God. I believe so much in the manifestation of the scriptures. I hate this type of church where people come and pray from Sunday to Sunday. You speak the word, then people go back with their worries. I really want God to perform, in others, his miraculous powers like it was in the Bible. Because our kids have been challenging us, but how comes those things have been in the past? How comes those things were performed in the times of Peter's? What was the difference? What would they do that we can't do? So we've decided to give ourselves wholly to the Lord, wholeheartedly. We really want to see the Lord, and we've seen. And we've seen the Lord, and before these 100 days end, we are preparing a miraculous service where people are going to witness the power of God. How I wish you come. But I know Dr. Lisa wouldn't want to miss. Because the Lord is going to move in a mighty, mighty way.
Wow. What do you think your dad would think of you? What you're doing now?
The man is in heaven. How can I think for a person that is in heaven, Chris?
Right. I understand.
But I believe you. But I believe in heaven, of course, we'll have a mind of Christ. Because right now we strive so hard to live Christ-like. But remember, heaven is a place of perfection, 100%. So I believe whatever Christ thinks about me, that's what my Father has to think about me. I don't believe in heaven we have our own will. I believe it's the will of God that is at 100%. That's why it is only Satan that is... that sinned while in heaven. That's why his sin is unforgivable. Because how could you sin in a place of perfection? So I believe my Father has a perfect mind of Christ Jesus. And whatever Christ thinks about me, that's what my Father thinks about me. And what he thinks about me is what the word says about me. That I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So my Father knows that filler in the world, he can do all things, and nothing is impossible to them that believe, and nothing is totally impossible to we that believe. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
One of the Sundays you missed Craig our services, Dr. Lisa, I think it was last Sunday, not this Sunday that we've just ended, but last Sunday when you guys didn't come, I came with a strong urge because I told Rachel, you know, I'm a person who loves to move in the gift of faith. So I told Rachel that God is going to perform a miracle. I did not hear the Lord speak, mark my words properly, but I spoke at my word through my faith, like Elijah spoke at the rain. He said that at my word it shall not rain for 3.5 years, and it rained not. So I spoke also through the authority granted unto me, because Rachel kept on telling me that she needed some money. So when I came at the pulpit, it was onto my heart, and I commanded the heavens. I said, God, that let it be a sign that you're in her life. Let her get that money in a period of 1 month. I asked her, how much money do you want? She told me she wanted 30 million. I said that it is given. I told her that it is given unto you by faith. But then we waited for the 1 month period. Honestly, she didn't get the money. Then she kept on bothering me. That Phila, we waited, but how comes the Lord hasn't performed it? I told her I would go to the Lord in prayer, because he's a father and we are his children. So I spent the whole night before that Sunday in prayer. Then I told God that you're going to manifest to show these people that you're here. Lest they say that your man of God is a liar. So, that Sunday when you guys didn't come, I told our worship team that today we are going to worship with the heavens. And everything that surrounds us, Lisa, is going to worship. People waited. I told them, let me show you the sign. Lisa, it was so hot. And even at that time, it was always said onto the radio stations that we are into a hot season. You have to drink a lot of water because there is so much humidity. So I told people, we are going to defy what the radio stations have been saying. Today, the clouds are going to change to cloudy. It's going to manifest right now as we worship. So, Craig, we started worshiping. We worshiped. Lisa, we worshipped. Since I've not been eating, I felt like a fire burning here. Then I started leaning on to Jesus that, God, you better manifest. because whenever we would worship, it would even become more hotter. But I told people, let's take it deeper. The Lord is going to show you that he's in our midst. Then a wind started blowing from the other side. Before we knew it, as I had given Rachel, I gave Rachel the microphone to take it a little bit further. Then I went outside. I moved outside of the church and started commanding the clouds that you better obey, because we are not stopping till the heavens also worship with us. Then a cloud of rain came. It covered up this place. I remember I put up the pictures onto, because our camera guys were taking every moment. Mm-hmm. It covered up the whole place. The trees started swinging. Then everyone started worshiping. They were like, Jesus is in this place. So it was a perfect sign for people to believe. They were like, wow, we can even command nature once we bow down unto the name of our Lord and King of Kings, Christ Jesus. How I wish you people were here. It was a powerful moment. And yesterday I wanted it to manifest, but to be honest, it didn't. You know, I'm one person who's honest with myself. If it doesn't manifest, it doesn't mean that you don't have Jesus, but it means you're practicing the presence of God and you're practicing faith. The more you stand in faith, those manifestations will keep on increasing, increasing. It starts without manifesting, but you still decide to stand in faith and... Yes, Mr. Craig.
Wow. So right now, your tent is gone, and they're erecting a permanent structure. How long has this been in the works?
The tent?
No, I'm sorry. How long has this building been planned? From the beginning?
It's a miracle. Like I told you, miracles happen in this place. We getting that tent, it was a miracle. From Grace Church and Pastor Travis and My 360. And also getting this permanent structure, still it's a miracle. This gentleman just came all the way from the Protestant church. They came to visit. At first, they came with a pastor of ours called Pastor Steph. He brought them to visit because they were friends. The moment they came here, they fell in love. But they would just still come and still get back to the Protestant church. But even at their first time of coming, they made our ground. They plastered it up because at first it was dusty. But it didn't stop there. They would go and come. But then the wife of that man told him that I've made a decision to stay at Great Tabernacle Church because I've seen the Lord there. I feel the presence of God is vivid in that place. Then the wife stayed here. Now she serves with our Sunday school. But the man has been still commuting to the Protestant church because I think he's their administrator and he has lots of works there. But recently he made a decision to be here. And since then, I think 2 weeks passed. That's when, 3 weeks, that's when he made a decision to build up this thing. He told us it's going to be his offertory to the Lord, that he wants to build the Lord's house for the great things that the Lord has done in his life. Let me show you some of his communications to show you some of the miracles that he has been getting. He has been getting endorsements of 200 millions, 300 millions. I wouldn't want you to say that I'm a liar. Everything is evident here on my phone. You know, we hold long conversations with him, so looking, in our church, we call him now uncle for the youths. But I'm looking for his conversation. Where miracles have been happening in his life. Oh, so many conversations with this man. In others, God has opened doors for him financially. He's a civil engineer. And we bless the Lord for him coming because I believe he will even build for My 360. None builds like him. Let me see here. He's telling me about church construction. This is not a good conversation. I would want to show you the miracle the miraculous. Well, you know, sometimes he talks so much. Oh. I'm looking for where we are talking about money and where we are commanding the word of God upon his finances. But I can hardly find it. Let me see, maybe more calls in tech. This is... Okay, like right now he was telling me. He was telling me, Obujulizibubo, that here is the testimony.
Hmm.
Then you can see this cover the second testimony. Mm-hmm. On Monday, we submitted a bid for KCC Airworks, small toilet in a school at about 303 million. How much is that, Dr. Lisa, in dollars? It's like 100,000. 100,000 roughly US dollars.
Hold on, I'll look.
$80,000. So you see, he's been getting big endorsements, and it may have been told other contractors failed to beat the deadline, and only two of us submitted. The second guy's bidding 307.
So they got it.
Mm-hmm. They took the lowest bidder, and I was informed we're gonna be awarded the job. That is it, my pastor. So those types of miracles, many have happened ever since he came here. One time I remember in service, Dr. Lisa, I believe you are there. I told those that had money to pay fees for those that didn't have, because that's what the real church is supposed to be. We support each other. So he got, I think he paid for a certain kid. And at the time he had not paid school fees for his kids, but if he believed God and paid for one of our keyboard, our instrumentalists. He paid a sum of 1 million Ugandan shillings, around 500 US dollars or 300, the amount he paid. And at that moment, as he was getting back to his home, on his way back to his home, they called him up for a big job that was paying him 10,000 US dollars.
Wow.
So that's where the offer came from. He told me, according to what the Lord has done for me, I'm building this church. And I believe this structure that he's building has taken something like, because today he sent me a text, he had to pay 15 million Ugandan shillings.
Okay.
That's around 3,000 to 4,000 US dollars. So this whole building, on him it has taken 10,000 US dollars. That's what it's going to cost, and even a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the man, according to what he has seen the Lord do, that's what he has given to the Lord. And it's going to take 2 weeks of building. 1 week is done, this is the second week. So the second week, they've started by putting down the original tent. And I believe by tomorrow, they needed some equipment that is coming in today. By tomorrow, they will be raising up these other steel bars. And on Sunday, we are going to be dancing and praising the Lord.
So, what word of encouragement would you give Americans that might listen to this?
Americans. Number one, I appreciate God so much for America. And that's why we have the American flag here. Because without America standing in the gap, without it standing up for Uganda and for Africa, the gospel wouldn't be preached. America has contributed a lot. Projects like My 360 have helped a lot the advancement of the gospel. You're coming here, Craig. You're part of the gospel in Uganda. So what I pray for America is to get back to that place where their forefathers sought the Lord with all their heart. And he gave them the land of America, and he blessed them. For America to know that you are blessed, you come to Africa and see how people live. That's when you realize that, wow, we've been blessed. But complaining a lot onto social media, complaining about the government and this and that and that. Of course, there are a few hardships in America, but it's a blessed land. So what I encourage, the word of encouragement to America is to go back and read Matthew chapter 6, verses 33. that seek ye first the kingdom, because your forefathers sought the kingdom. And when the kingdom of God comes, it doesn't come empty-handed. Hmm. It comes with other things. It comes with prosperity. It's like when the Lord made Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. The Lord gave him wisdom, but the Lord didn't just, it just didn't end up wisdom. He gave him prosperity and peace at all his sides. So America has also been at that place. The Lord has given them the kingdom of God. He has blessed them materially and in every way of life. But then America has gotten out of hand. It has gotten out of way. So what I encourage the Americans to do, they need to get back to that place. Church needs to get back at that place of revival, loving the Lord with all their hearts, not getting into church for just 1 hour and running out of church. That's my word for America. Hmm. Let them get back at the feet of Jesus that, like they used to do before. Because you brought the gospel to us. But now we are getting cleaner and America is becoming dirty. And can you imagine they are pushing all types of funny agendas onto us. Yet they gave us the gospel. Hmm. Without America, the gospel wouldn't be in Uganda. You preach the gospel to us, but now you're telling us to do certain activities. I wouldn't want to mention it in your interview. They might close you down. Let me just keep it for myself.
We'll do it when it's turned off.
But otherwise, yeah. America, God loves you. And we are praying for you, making mention of you in our prayers night and day, because you've blessed us so much.
Well, that's great. I appreciate you sitting down to give me your story a little bit.
Amen.
When I lived here 20 years ago, I had the chance to meet your dad, and I got to know him just a little bit.
I always forget that. But now I won't forget it no more.
And so it's fun. I never knew you. I don't think I met any of his kids, but it's a real honor to meet one of him, because I can see him in you a bit.
Wow.
And that's a...
So which means I look like Jesus, because nothing looks like Jesus.
I haven't seen him since he's been with Jesus, but before that. So, Pastor Fella, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time and being willing to turn your life over. I think that's a testament in itself.
Amen.
So,
I bless the Lord.
Yes.
For his mercy and grace, because I would be dead. But because of his grace, I'm alive and ministering and changing lives. And raising a generation. I'm not doing the work alone. I would also love to take the opportunity onto this interview, of course, to give thanks to those people that are standing in the gap with me. At Great Tabernacle Church, we have Pastor Dennis. We pastor together. He has been a great instrument into this work of God. And Pastor Steve, Pastor Daniel, and other mighty ladies of God. And also Dr. Lisa has been part of us. So we bless the Lord for her. And my 360, of course, when we don't have chairs, they contributed to those chairs. And of course, Grace Church. And also you, Craig, for taking this time to come out and take this interview from the man of God. Because you're also a man of God. And this young man is a man of God too. So we bless the Lord for each and everyone that makes it possible for the gospel to be furthered and for the kingdom of God to be manifested into people's lives. Amen.
Fela Kawesa, thanks again for hanging out and sharing with us your story and how you got to where you are today and kind of your thought process. I appreciate you taking the time. TheInterviewPodcast.org is our website. Remember that you can help support the show directly right there. Click on the support button, and you get to choose the value that you received from the show. Send it back to us so we can continue having these conversations. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Have a wonderful day.
Kwe musana kwe si Kwa uchitanga